This podcast is a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to find out more.
Welcome to 20th Century Boy. I still love this bit of the intro. My name is Radius Mike, and this is the inside of my mind. Welcome to another week of the podcast. Oh, have I started recording? I have. Sorry, I thought I hadn't started recording for a second there. That wouldn't have been embarrassing. I would have been doing the podcast, thinking I was doing the podcast, and then suddenly have to stop because I'm like, oh, I wasn't actually recording. Start all over again. My name's Radio Mike. Welcome to my podcast, 20th Century Boy, a podcast about me, Radio Mike, a young writer and producer from Melbourne, Australia, trying to make his way through the rough and tumble of living life. Sometimes it's easier than other times. And I guess at the moment, it's feeling pretty good because we're coming out of lockdown here in Melbourne. Say hell yeah if you're from Melbourne. Hell yeah, we're coming out of lockdown. We're coming out of the world's longest ever lockdown. The world's longest COVID lockdown we are coming out of. And it feels good. Finally going to go back to some sense of normality, being able to do stuff, have people over to our houses. It's going to be really good. So I'm absolutely looking forward to that. I genuinely cannot wait for that. It's going to be really fun. As always, I'd like to plug at the top of the episode my Patreon, patreon.com/radiomike. For as little as a dollar a month, you get access to two bonus podcasts, that is, the Pat and Mike podcast, which is a conversation between me and Pat, the producer of this podcast, and the Mike's podcast, which is an improvised comedy podcast featuring various characters that used to be mainstays on the show. Get it? Two bonus podcasts for as little as a dollar a month, $12 a year, that's pretty good. If you would get coffee with me three times a year, that's $12. If you would go on a coffee date with me three times a year, I'd go with you. Chuck me a dollar a month. If you think the podcast is worth any money, chuck me a dollar a month. Or paypal.me/itsradiomike. If you'd just like to give me a one-off donation, please do that as well. I would really appreciate that. But yes, we are coming out of lockdown. It's going to be really good. It has been such a crazy 2 years. And I guess there's no promises we won't go into lockdown again. I mean, most people here are vaccinated now, which is good. So yeah, as always, I'd like to encourage you all to do your 360 on the spot. We are the world's only winnable podcast. If you do a 360 on the spot and see me in your vicinity at this exact moment of listening to the podcast, you've won the podcast. Congratulations, come up to me, claim your prize. That might be easier to do moving forward now that I'm not going to be at home all the time. I'll be moving. I'll be out and about, right? Traveling around Melbourne, might even be interstate at some point. Who knows? Might be even international at some point. So come up to me now if you've won the podcast. I want to do a shout out to Radio Natasha. She sent me a message this week saying, hey, Mike, happy 25th birthday. Another one. Because longtime listeners of this show will know that on my 25th birthday in 2019, I asked everyone in the podcast that came out that day to send me a happy 25th birthday message whenever you're listening to this, whether it's in the future or not, so I can live on as a 25-year-old forever. And it is working. I am pretty much immortalizing myself as a 25-year-old. Thank you for helping that along, Radio Natasha. I really appreciate it. And of course, the other thing we do at the start of every podcast is the trivia question of the week. Last week's trivia question was the popular children's toy Tamagotchi comes from the Japanese word uochi, which means watch, and the Japanese word tamago, which means what, and then you had to, you know, what does tamago mean? No one got it correct. No correct answers. Unfortunately, I do award the point for the closest answer, and two people called in. This was probably the closest to the correct answer. I'll play it for you now.
G'day, Mike. It's Radio Timmy Dibbs here. My submission for the previous trivia question is 68 days left until Christmas. Anyway, I love you.
Now, this is obviously just a plot to annoy me, but unfortunately, I do have to award the point this week. For the trivia game, to Radio Tim DiBella. Welcome to the radio family. Even though he is just trying to annoy me with his love of Christmas, apparently there's 68 days left until Christmas, but if you're a long-term listener of this podcast, again, you will know that I hate celebrating Christmas before December 15th. A little bit more on that later. I want to expand on it a little bit today. Trivia question for this week, though. The trivia question of the week for this week might be a bit easier. Oh, by the way, the answer is egg. Tamago means egg. So Tamagotchi literally means egg watch, right? And your little monster hatches from the egg. It's shaped like an egg. It's an egg watch. Now, this week's trivia question, a little bit of fun. Involves a little bit of audio. So the question is this. In which television show did this moment occur in? I'll say it again. In which television show did this moment occur in originally? Here's the moment.
Catch me outside, how about that?
You've heard it. What television show did that moment occur in? I'll play it again.
Catch me outside, how about that?
Call in 1-800-438-353 or leave a voicemail, leave a voice message on an email. Get in touch. You go into the running to win a prize at the end of the year for the most correct answers.
Catch me outside.
Who said catch me outside, how about that? Not who said it. What show was that on? Right, that is the question. Send in your best answer. No Googling. It's an honesty system. This podcast runs on an honesty system. One other thing that I did want to quickly talk about is... I'll talk about this. Radio Julia, she got in touch with me via Instagram, radio.mike this week. Welcome to the radio family, Radio Julia. First contribution to the show, I believe. And what she's unfortunately done, she has sent me a picture of Maya, the store in Adelaide. She's there, I assume. She's at the store. And they have Christmas trees set up in their store. It's October 17th today, I think. I repeat, Maya in Adelaide has Christmas trees set up in their store. They are celebrating Christmas. And this annoys me for so many reasons. And Julia went on. She's bamboozled by this, right? She says it hasn't even passed Halloween yet. And October 17th, perfect time if you're in retail, perfect time to get your Halloween decorations up. 10 days till Halloween, 14 days, 2 weeks out of Halloween, get Halloween decorations up. I'll tell you what we don't do. I'll tell you what we don't do, retailers, on October 17th. We don't put Christmas trees up. We don't do that because Christmas doesn't start. We don't start thinking about Christmas until December 15th. I've said it once. I'll say it again. Anyone who thinks of Christmas before December 15th is a loser, right? If you're thinking about Christmas in October, you have nothing going on in your life. Your life must be so bland that you're thinking about Christmas in October. Even November. November. Absolutely. It's insanity. I don't know. Every year it gets earlier. We're not even past Halloween yet. Would you have Christmas decorations up at Easter? That's what I want to know. Would you or would you not put up Christmas decorations at Easter? The answer, as we all know, is no. So do not put Christmas decorations up before Halloween. Ridiculous. Christmas does not start. We do not start thinking about Christmas until the 15th of December. I'll give it the 13th even, right? Then you get your 12 days of Christmas, 13th to the 25th. Is that 12? Yes, that's 12. You get 12 days of Christmas. No more, no less. And from December 26th, Christmas is over. I don't think about Christmas again until December 13th of the next year, right? All these people trying to squeeze every second out of Christmas, and then it gets to Christmas and we're all over it. That's why I don't start celebrating Christmas. And I know so many people agree with me on this. Don't try and turn Christmas into a 3-month event, Maya. Don't try and do that. Do the right thing. Put up a Christmas tree on December 13th and move on with your life. Because Christmas does not start until the 13th of December. Then you can start thinking about it. Then you can play Christmas carols. Then you can think about Christmas. You can go presents shopping. If you're buying presents for Christmas right now for people, nah, sort your priorities out. Okay? You don't even think about what to get people for Christmas until at least December 1st. Okay, then I'll let you think about presents. No, actually, that goes against my rule. You start thinking about presents on the 13th. You do all your Christmas shopping in one day. You do not think about it before then. And Maya, that disgusts me. Frankly, I feel sick. I feel sick to my stomach that there is a Christmas tree up anywhere in the world right now. Because nowhere in the world that should there be a Christmas tree up anywhere. Disgusting. Disgusting. Hate that. I want to talk about the new Coldplay album. And I'm doing a little YouTube video that will go up the day before this podcast goes up, talking a little bit more extensively about it. So please go and watch that on my YouTube, Radio Mike. I'd appreciate that. I might also put that on the podcast feed as well as a little bonus, like I did with the Squid Game thing. But Coldplay's got a new album out. The album is called Music of the Spheres. Coldplay's new album is called Music of the Spheres. And just to clear it up for everyone, this is their 9th studio album. And I want to do a little... a walk down Coldplay memory lane, because I actually quite enjoy Coldplay, but this new album, Coldplay's new album, weirdest album ever. Weirdest album ever. And a lot of rock and roll bands or alternative rock bands get to this point where they're so big, so culturally well regarded, that I don't think they're even about the music anymore. Like, they still make new music, but they're more about, like, the showmanship, and they're more about, like, being a live band and creating live experiences than actually about making great music. U2 is a great example of this, you know. And I think Coldplay is now on that route, and they have been for the last 10 years. You've slowly seen it tumbling into this. But this new album, Music of the Spheres, it's not a bad album. It's just so crazy. This isn't a joke. The album is actually, this is what Chris Martin describes it as. It's a space concept album, right, about what music would sound like in other universes and galaxies, that was inspired by the Star Wars Cantina Band when Chris Martin was watching Star Wars. The Cantina Band is the band in Mos Eisley, if you haven't seen Star Wars, that just plays the I didn't load up a grab of it, but that's essentially it. So, Chris Martin is sitting at home watching the Cantina Band in Mos Eisley, and he thinks to himself, I need to make an album that's like this. This is the album I need to make. That's what Chris Martin's thinking. And then he writes this album, Music of the Spheres, and creates... This isn't a joke. Like, I'm not even being facetious or satirical. He creates a fictional galaxy of which this music is from in the conceptual world. And we all know, artists do concept albums. They do a little bit of theatrics. David Bowie, he had Ziggy Stardust, right? The Beatles had Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Green Day did American Idiot. That's a concept album. That's about post-9/11, living in USA post-9/11. It's a concept album. The Who, Quadrophenia, right? My Chemical Romance did a couple. The Black Parade, Danger Days, you know, they get into costumes. They create these little worlds that they play in. It's a concept album. It's fun. Ziggy Stardust, cool. Awesome. But this is taking it surely one step too far, Chris Martin. I've created my own galaxy. I've created my own universe, and this is the music you would hear in it. That is actually what this album is. Now, let's get back to that. Let's get back to that in a sec. I do want to talk Coldplay. Over the years of this podcast, I've done a few like little walkthroughs of bands' discographies, and like I think this is relevant. Let's talk Coldplay, because I'm popping my headphones on. I'm going to play a few sound effects. Coldplay did just start off as this like. Almost like, I feel like the 90s were fueled by, like, real Britpop, you know, Oasis and Blur and, like, a bunch of other bands, mainly Oasis and Blur, that were, like, rock and roll. And then in the 2000s, Coldplay kind of emerges this, like, post-Britpop alternative rock band. And they had some great alternative rock songs that were just, you know, straight up kind of rock, like straight up rock songs. Yellow is probably their first big single.
Look at the stars, look how they shine for you.
And I think Chris Martin as a vocalist is so talented. He's such a fantastic vocalist, I reckon. And then that was from their first album, Parachutes. I think that was their debut album. And then their second full-length album, which was probably, you know, their big breakthrough, was A Rush of Blood to the Head. Possibly in like 2002, I want to say, maybe 2004. And the biggest songs from that were The Scientist and, of course, this absolute banger. Clocks. And one of the funny things about Clocks is that anyone from a musical background will get this, but Clocks was like a song that was like easy to play on the piano. So all anyone who like didn't actually play piano would learn Clocks. But because they weren't musical, they'd just play it like, they wouldn't actually have any rhythm to it. Like, you know, listen to it. It's beautiful. That's beautiful. But people would just learn the notes and be like, sounded horrible. Hated it. Anytime someone played Clocks on piano, I'd be like, no, you suck. That's a great album as well. And then, of course, Fix You, possibly one of the most, like a very beautiful song, Fix You. Incredibly beautiful, heartfelt, and, well, here's a bit of it.
I will try to fix you.
Love that song. And I love the falsetto vocals that Chris Martin uses in a lot of the Coldplay songs. I think he's got such a great vocal range, but, like, you know, definitely not like Freddie Mercury style, but he definitely has a good range and a really powerful voice as well. Now, where it all kind of started to change was in, I think it was 2010 or 2011, they put out this album called Milo Zalotto. And I feel like already when you hear the title of this album, Milo Zalotto, you can already hear like a degree of like wankiness coming into this band. And again, like if you're a Coldplay fan, I actually think Coldplay are a fantastic band, but I think this was the start of their descent into wankiness. And let me defend this by saying that Milo Zalotto is my favorite Coldplay album, right? But I still think this was the point where they were like, we're huge, now we just do whatever we want musically. Like we don't have to adhere to a style, we just do whatever we want. And we're doing Milo Zalotto. And this was like a marked turning point in Coldplay's style, right? Like this was an like electronic synthy pop album, right? As opposed to like these like standard kind of rock, you know, piano rock, soft rock, alternative rock that they had done in the past. Suddenly they're doing this like real, almost like ultra produced in a good way, pop album. And they had these great, like Paradise is from that album. I guess it was like a move away from, you know, a lot of the drums moved to electronic drum kits and then less guitar-driven sound, again, more synthy sound. There's a song that the opening track, I think, is called Hurts Like Heaven. It's a fantastic song. And I think this was a marked shift in the band, and I think, again, it's like this growing band, similar to U2 with the we're going to dump our album on every iPhone for free. Like, I think this was a band that was like, we're so big now, we do whatever we want. And the next few albums I thought were pretty hit and miss. I didn't really listen to them very much. Ghost Stories was the one after Milo Zalotto. That had a single called Magic, which I think is quite nice. Again, a move away from guitar-driven sound to a more electronic sort of sound.
And from there, they put out like two more albums before the current one, the Space one, which were A Head Full of Dreams and Everyday Life, neither of which I really got into. Like, I kind of fell off the wagon because I started to feel like
They were just trying too hard to be cool. Like, I genuinely just felt like, okay, they're just trying a bit too hard to be cool. And that doesn't mean that the songs got bad. One of the next singles was Hymn for the Weekend. This is from A Head Full of Dreams, I think the album's called. And this is a really cool song, but it's certainly, like, ambitious and, like, it just, you know, it starts to feel like we're the biggest band in the world. We do songs like this. I don't hate this song, but I don't know why, just as the years went on, they just seemed to get more and more wanky. Maybe, like, I don't know what it is. I like Coldplay, but I just, like, I want to hate them. Like, I really like their music. Like, look. I don't. This is an absolute tune. I believe that. I agree with that, right? All of these are absolute tunes. And then there's no song from Everyday Life that I remember. Like, I definitely heard that album, but I don't remember any of the songs from it. But then this new album, as I said, there's collaborations with Selena Gomez and BTS. So it's very much like, let's get the younger demographic into Coldplay. Let's get an international demographic into Coldplay. Let's do it. Let's get a new market. Let's collaborate with people. And the other super wanky thing about this album is the fact that four of the tracks, the titles are emojis. Go into Spotify right now, open the album. Four of the tracks from this album are emojis. And I'm sorry, but that is the wankiest thing ever. Oh, how hip are we? How cool are we? Emojis as tracks. Emojis as track titles. Hey guys, have you heard Solar System? Solar System emoji by Coldplay? I'm not joking. Coldplay is using emojis as song titles. This is the wankiest thing a band could ever do. Because how do you refer to this song? G'day guys, I've been listening to the new Coldplay album. What's your favourite track? Earth Emoji. My favourite track on the new Coldplay album is Earth Emoji. How good is Earth Emoji? Oh, I love Earth Emoji, but Star Emoji, way better. Don't name your songs after emojis. There are some really cool songs on this album though. Like, this is a really interesting album. Again, please go onto YouTube, watch my full review, find out again. I'll talk more about how this album was inspired by Star Wars somehow. Please go and watch that full review. But Higher Power, I think this is like the lead single on the album. Really fun. That you've got a higher power. Got me singing every second. You know, the majority of these singles and collaborations with other groups, like Selena Gomez, BTS, they follow a very conventional structure. They're not trying to do anything too experimental with those songs. Like, Higher Power does feel like a modern Coldplay song in the same way that Hymn for the Weekend does, and Paradise does, and Every Teardrop is a Waterfall does, right? Like, they all sound like Coldplay songs. And then this BTS one is, you know, I don't know if I love this or hate this, but the BTS Coldplay collaboration is undoubtedly, it's a banger. It's a certified banger. It is a great pop song. It feels very boy bandy. I love this song. I love this Coldplay BTS collaboration. It's awesome. Listen to it. I love that call and response. Can we just hear that one more time? It's Chris Martin and BTS in the back. Listen. You are. Ah, just what? I love it. I'm obsessed with this song. Like, everyone always makes fun of BTS. I don't know why. I've never heard any of their music, admittedly, right? But this is like the first BTS thing I've ever heard. This is a great collaboration. And it blends together, like, them singing in, like, Korean, Chris Martin singing in English. I love that, like, the theme of this album seems to be, like, unity. I really like it. I think this is one of the strongest songs. It's such a classic. It's just a good pop song, like a good pop anthem. And I think collaborating with one of the biggest boy groups in the world and an artist that is so good at making pop anthems like BTS, like, you know, that's what they do. They're a pop boy band. They make banger songs, right? They make catchy pop songs. And I think Coldplay does that too, especially recently. Collaborating with them, getting that international market, getting a huge like, this is genius. Genius of Coldplay to do this. Producing a great product, the song, with a artist that is massive overseas, massive with a younger audience, of course, collaborating with Selena Gomez as well. It's great. This is like such an intelligent thing for them to do from a marketing and sales perspective, but also just from a creative perspective, I feel like it worked with this song, which is really good. But overall, like, I would love for people to listen to this Coldplay album, even if you don't, like, know, like, care about music that much, you don't, like, look into music and you don't, like, follow artists closely, like, listen to this album. I'm curious to know what people think of it, because to me it's so interesting. It's like, I don't know what Coldplay could do after this. I kind of see them going back to basics, maybe, with the next one, but again, like, how could they? Like, do they keep just doing weirder and weirder shit? This is such a weird album. Like, it's so weird, and it's so creative but wanky in the same place. It's this perfect blend of wank and creativity. And I love it, but I also just cringe at it. And some of the songs are amazing, and some of it's crap. And is it too much? Like, is it just a little bit too much? A little bit too on the nose, Chris Martin? I don't know. Like, what movie? Are you gonna, like, be watching, like, Indiana Jones and do, like, a cowboy-themed album? Like, I don't know. But I just think this is such a great, like, a great example of creativity versus... creativity, artistry, marketing and sales and everything like that. This is really interesting.
We have a TikTok account for this podcast. Pat, the producer on this show, edits together a bunch of clips. And we randomly just, like, the TikTok's been pretty dormant. Like, we haven't really had much growth on it for a while, which is a shame. But we randomly had three clips go really viral recently, like sleeper viral. The first one was my rant last week about Sam Frost, in which I basically talked about how Sam Frost came out, said she wasn't getting vaccinated, and then people, like, bullied her out of Instagram. And my whole point, FYI, from that, from the clip I did, was I said that I basically was saying that the people who bully Sam Frost out of Instagram... are the cancel culture mob, the mob that just, like, piles on people who don't agree with them and think that they're so good, are the worst type of people. And, like, I got a lot of support for what I said. And I was basically saying no one should listen to anyone else's opinions, including me, right? That was the whole joke I was making. Someone commented saying, translation... I have a shit podcast and I'm not as popular as Sam Frost, but I wish I was. And her name is trending, so I'll use it for content to try and make to try and get more popular. Someone who had, like, an anonymous account as well. And a few other people messaged me and be like, well, you're actually bullying her. Show some empathy to her. I wasn't bullying Sam Frost, FYI. She can do whatever she wants. And the whole point of what I was saying was that just let people shouldn't pile on people. Anyway, that's beside the point. There was a couple other things that went viral. Another thing that went viral randomly was a video of me talking about the Japanese translated names of the Fast and the Furious film franchise, which was a clip that Pat just randomly put up. By the way, patreon.com/radiomike to help support me and pay Pat to do the fantastic work he does. This video of me talking about the Fast and the Furious went viral, and in Japan they're all called, like, Wild Speed, and then one of the last ones is called Wild Speed Max Combo or something. And in the video I say that Max Combo sounds like something you'd get from Hungry Jack's, and apparently it's come to my attention, it went viral randomly. And what I think people don't realize, and what people are like, what the hell? What is Hungry Jack's? In Australia, we call the American fast food chain Burger King Hungry Jack's. I know nothing more about it than that. For whatever reason, Burger King in Australia is called Hungry Jack's. And as I've said on this podcast before, it's like the discount McDonald's. It's like half as good as McDonald's. Hungry Jack's is Burger King. So just to clear that up for any international listeners that are confused about what Hungry Jack's is. Hungry Jack's is what Australians have instead of Burger King. Same company, same branding, just a different name. People in the comments seem to clear up that it's to do with the fact that when Burger King came to Australia, there was already an Australian chain called Burger King, so they just changed it to Hungry Jack's. No idea who Jack is. And then on this note, though, on Hungry Jack's, I want to talk about... We follow fast food chains a lot on this podcast. We've talked... I think it all started when Hungry Jack's actually did the Big Jack Burger, which was a copy of the Big Mac. And I, on this podcast, tried a Big Mac against a Big Jack. Can't remember the result. It's on a podcast somewhere. But I tried the Big Mac versus the Big Jack. And I was also talking about how when a company, because Macca's then came back and tried to sue Hungry Jack's for naming the product the Big Jack and deliberately trying to confuse consumers, which no one's confused. And I think I was making the point that when a lesser brand attacks a bigger brand in marketing, it's a cry for help, right? Hungry Jack's knows they're the discount Macca's. That's why they're copying Macca's best burger, the Big Mac, or their most iconic burger rather, right? And then we also saw it with Grilled attacking KFC and McDonald's, again, trying to be like, we're healthier, we're better. Power of Grilled burgers, yes. And again, I am the unofficial ambassador for Grilled, so I don't love having a go at them. But sometimes you have to. That's the brutality of this industry. But there is a new ad that Hungry Jack's have put out. And let's just say they're up to their old tricks. I'm going to put the ad in here.
Fall in love with Hungry Jack's new Jack's Fried Chicken Burgers. Big, thick, crunchy, juicy chicken. New Jack's Fried Chicken. The burgers are better at Hungry Jack's.
So, Hungry Jack's are essentially putting out, they've put out their own version of what looks like a Zinger Burger, a KFC Zinger Burger. The Zinger Burger is a great burger, by the way. So they've called it the, because Grilled has done this as well. Grilled's done their HFC, Healthy Fried Chicken, cry for help. Hungry Jack's is now doing the JFC, Jack's Fried Chicken. Okay, whatever. Now, I guess what I've decided to do with this, because I have to, is at some point in the next few months, and I don't even know where the nearest Hungry Jack's is to me. They're nowhere. Where are Hungry Jack's? I live in Kensington. Could someone find out where the closest Hungry Jack's is to me? I will do what I did with the Big Mac Big Jack. I will have a JFC burger and a Zinger burger, and I will review them. And I actually, looking back, I think the Big Jack did do better than the Big Mac last time when I tried them. So that's something you can all look forward to. I will be trying a Zinger and a JFC burger, but I do want Hungry Jack's to just focus on your own branding. You've got your Whopper burgers. Focus on them. Slam in on them. The Hungry Jack's Whopper, that's your iconic product. None of this Big Jack stuff. None of this JFC stuff. You know, we can see through it. We know you need help. To me, it's like, we need help. That's why we're doing all these novelty burgers. Brutal marketing, but it's a cry for help, Hungry Jack's. The other thing that went viral was this video of me. It randomly went viral talking about how I think the Yu-Gi-Oh! Theme song is the best television theme song of all time. We have been talking a lot about this, and I was kind of being a little bit facetious, but realistically, the Yu-Gi-Oh! Theme song is a fantastic theme song. Absolutely fantastic theme song. And one thing I realized, we didn't really do kids shows or anime. So I would love for people to send in their favorite kids show themes coming up. I know we had a couple kid shows like Arthur and Phineas and Ferb, but I want to do a dedicated best kids TV show themes, because I was talking about this with my housemates the other day on the weekend, and we were just like reeling them off and singing them, and it was awesome. I had a few people comment though on this thing. Lots of people commenting that the theme song to Digimon is actually the best children's theme. And like, if anyone knows me, everyone knows that Digimon is my jam. It's like the thing I never grew out of. I watch the show still, and I think it's awesome. The theme is great. Digimon, digital monsters, Digimon are the champions. Great. Digimon, digital monsters, Digimon are the champions. And what I like about that is there's no ambiguity at all as to what you're watching, right? Digimon, Just in case you were wondering what show you're watching, this is it. I like that. I really like that. I think the Digimon theme is good. A few people also saying that because there's a few different versions of Digimon. A lot of people actually commented the Digimon Frontier theme song, which is the fourth season of Digimon. I didn't know anyone else in the world had seen this, but a lot of people were commenting. I actually don't mind this one as well. It's pretty good. So kids' anime themes are always really funny. I love that Digimon Frontier one. That was the fourth. For the majority of people who maybe watched the first season of Digimon when they were a little kid and didn't persist with the franchise, the fourth season is one where the kids actually turn into Digimon. Very, very crazy. And then, of course, a lot of people saying Rock the Dragon from Dragon Ball Z, an absolute classic. Similar to the Digimon song in that it really drills into you what show you're watching, just in case you didn't know. I love that theme. Love that theme so much. And then literally a lot of people in the comments said this show, which I've never heard of or seen, apologies, which I think is, it's like Iron Man Adventures, The Adventures of Iron Man, which I imagine is just some Marvel kids cartoon. They said the theme song to this show is amazing, so I've decided to listen to it for the first time on the show. I've loaded it up. This is that theme song. So far it's just okay. So far, I hate this. Teenage Iron Man. I didn't mind that. Ooh, little beep, little Kim Possible style beep at the end there. I thought that was really lackluster to everyone commenting it. Sorry. Let's wrap up the pod with this. The plug! Thanks for listening, guys. Thank you so much for listening. The camera's just died, but because we're at the end of the pod, I'm just going to leave it. So apologies for video viewers. Plugs. First things first, Harry Potter and the Boys will be back next week. I've scheduled in the first episode back. I'm so excited. Please give it a listen. Get it back in your feed if you unsubscribe to it. Thank you so much for your patience. Lockdown is over. I'm bringing stuff back and I'm really excited about it. So thank you so much. From there, Mike Talks will be back eventually. Go onto my YouTube as well. Check out some of my videos, especially this Coldplay video. I really liked it. I think it's really funny, so I'd appreciate you checking that out as well. Subscribe to the YouTube, nearly up to 1,400 subscribers, which would be awesome. The channel was unmonetized for some stupid reason I'm trying to resolve with YouTube, but it's taking ages, so I'm not making any money from YouTube. So again, if you would like to, I was making a bit of money off YouTube, but yeah, if you would like to jump on the Patreon, I'd really appreciate that. It would really help out at the moment because I don't have that extra revenue coming in. As well as that, I am doing, I'll plug this next week because I don't know how it's going to go. So I will plug something else next week for you guys. And yeah, Instagram, radio.mike, radiomikepod@gmail.com, trivia answer, 1-800-438-353, or any questions or voice message you want to send in, call that number. As well as that, the Discord is there. If you want to join, let me know. radiomike.com.au, you can see pretty much everything I've ever done. I'd love for you to do that. Thank you so much for listening, guys. My name's Radio Mike. Don't block the MDF and all the other usual sign-offs I say at the end of this podcast. See you later. Thank you. Goodbye forever, except for next week. We'll be right back.
This podcast was a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to check out all our other content. Stay up to date at radio.mike on Instagram and get in touch. Radio Mike Pod at gmail.com.